The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune.
If only I could.
Looking ahead. Really? So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather. You won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman? Crazy woman. Nicole.
I thought I'd start with something a bit lighter than usual and try to have fun with it. It's hard because today is, this is Hell Week and it is Thursday. And what a shit show. What a shit show. So the latest, in case you've been under a rock today or just out of ear range of any news, the Senate earlier today passed a stopgap funding bill to keep the government open through December 3rd. So, you know, we got that going for us. And then the House took it up. In case you're wondering, the vote in the Senate was 65 to 35. So there were 35 Republican senators who said, nah, we don't think we're going to fund the government. We should just shut it down. Okay. And it's the usual suspects. I mean, it's the two idiots from Florida or Florida, you know, the usual suspects. And then on the House side, the vote was, they passed it as well. So the government will not shut down tonight at midnight. So we've got that going for us. The vote was 254 to 175. Again, 175 Republicans said, nah, don't fund the government. Let's shut it down. You got to wonder who they are serving, because it's certainly not their constituents. But that still leaves a lot of stuff up in the air, like the infrastructure bill and the raising of the debt ceiling, because now they're saying Janet Yellen, who heads up Treasury, says we have until October 18th, and that's just under 3 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away. And the Republicans, just the same way they didn't want to fund the government to keep it open, because all they want to do is make the Democrats look bad. And the American people don't pay attention. I hate to say they're too stupid to know, but, you know, read the writing on the wall. Don't pay attention, so they don't understand that this is the Republicans doing their damnedest to tank the nation. Now, if you're, you know, somewhere in my age neighborhood, and I think many of our listeners are, hopefully we've got some younger people out there, but I know a bunch of us are, you know, a little older, more experienced, more seasoned. We grew up with Schoolhouse Rock. I know I did. And we all remember, I'm just a bill, just an old-fashioned bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. I used to have a box set of the original Schoolhouse Rock discs that I sold in a big memorabilia sale some years ago, you know, trying to fund my life. And, but, again, I can't stand Politico. I really just have a real distaste for that magazine. But occasionally they have good reporting and occasionally they come out with something good. So, knowing what we're going through this week with, all right, so the government is funded up until December 3rd, but we still have no solution to the debt ceiling issue, and we're still in limbo over the infrastructure bills. Now, according to What's News that's been running all day on the Progressive Voices Network and that you may have downloaded because it goes out with my podcast, Nancy Pelosi wasn't going to bring up the bill today because she says, I will never bring up a bill if I don't have the votes. Well, she doesn't have the votes, but it looks like she's still going to bring it up today. I guess we'll see what happens in the course of the next hour or two. But there's that. And it goes back and forth. And I've got more information on that for you. We'll get into it in a minute. And, of course, Howie Klein's coming up. But Politico did update, I'm just a bill. And they did it keeping today's challenges in mind. So this really is an updated version of the Schoolhouse Rock classic, I'm Just a Bill. And I thought if there ever was a reason to play it, today is it. So sit back. You'll notice the changes immediately. It's a little longer than the original because things have gotten a bit more complicated, you know? All right, so take it away, Bill. Here we go.
You sure gotta climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. But I wonder who that little sad scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol City. Used to be sort of simple to get a voting committee. Now it's hard to become law today. At least I pray that I will. But today I'm still just a bill.
Well, it's become one wild ride. Bills don't even have to start. Ad hoc gangs of senators can write bills instead. They hammer things out behind closed doors. It's the filibuster they are trying to get around. These days a supermajority isn't easily found.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill, and I got as far as Capitol Hill. I am now gridlocked in the Senate, cause of partisan bluster. But if they can't free me from the filibuster, I ought to pass muster. If 60 senators vote for me, how I pray that they will. But today I am still just a bill.
Listen to those congressmen arguing. It sounds like you're not getting any further. The minority's filibuster has you trapped.
Not this time. I'm one of the lucky ones. If we can get past the Senate parliamentarian, they can declare I go to reconciliation. If she rules favorably, I don't die.
Reconciliation? Now what the heck is that?
It's an obscure part of law that gives budgetary bills special powers. They can't get locked up by the filibuster. Thanks to reconciliation, a simple minority gets me out of the Senate. Then I go over to the House and go through a voterama.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes!
What the heck is voterama?
It's how I get to the floor for a vote. I'm mostly meeting in this 20-hour marathon. Make any amendment you want to for all the members of Congress.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And it's hard to get a vote on the Hill. Deep parliamentary maneuvers will make you feel dizzy. And the sausage making gets mighty frothy and fizzy. But there's a small chance for Miss Dale to become a law if they will. Just vote on me because I'm a bill.
So you get passed by the House and sent back to Senate. And then you're done, right?
Oh no, then I go to conference where the White House joins in. More amendments can be added or subtracted. There's a whole lot of wheeling and dealing, and I find my way back to the Senate for more debate and then another vote. Then they even put me through another voterama. Then the Senate bill is sent back to the House again, where they have to vote on me again. If I get through all that and then they vote for me, then I finally get sent over to the White House. I finally make it to the President's desk, where I get signed into law. That is, if I ever make it that far, and only if he doesn't veto me.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will, cause today I'm still just a bill.
Oh, yeah, this bill, the bill depicted in this film is completely fictional. Any resemblance to actual lawmaking, they say, is purely by accident or something like that. So there you go. That was a Politico production. And it was well done, right? Brian Dean says this video and song is cracking me up. It's sadly funny and accurate, you know? But they did, you know, they did bring it up to date, didn't they? And here we are. Oh, God, I told you this was going to be an ugly week. So is my microphone better? You know, somebody yesterday told me that the YouTube levels were a bit hot, so I tried to recalibrate the Dar says much better. Good. I tried to recalibrate the audio, but I've got the audio coming out of my board going into so many different places, and occasionally I tweak a knob or something and I screw it all up. Obviously, my fix today made it worse. So I backed it back down and I'll keep trying. I don't know. It's, you know, spit and chewing gum. I have good equipment. It's just, you know, I'm the engineer. So I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I try. I think I'm procrastinating. I'm trying not to talk about what's going on. But let's do it. The government will not shut down tonight. As I said, the Senate earlier today passed that stopgap funding bill that'll keep government running until December 3rd, because that's how we do things in this country. Vote in the Senate, 65 to 35. The House then took it up and passed it this afternoon, 254 to 175. So the shutdown is averted, but, and it's a big but, and I don't like big buts, and I'll tell you why. The issue of raising the debt ceiling is still unresolved. Republicans refused to take ownership of their big spending during the previous guy's 4 years, mostly in the form of a $2 trillion tax cut for the nation's wealthiest citizens at the expense of the rest of us. So the Democrats are left to figure out how to avoid a catastrophic economic disaster if the debt ceiling isn't raised by October 18th, which is just under 3 weeks away. And that's only part of the story. Yeah, the other part is the infrastructure bills that were designed to go in tandem, because the BIF, the one that already passed the Senate, the one that the House is supposed to vote on today, doesn't accomplish a third of what is needed. So there's this other bill that will be passed through reconciliation if they can get the 50 votes. And that's a big if, because two of the members of the Democratic Senate caucus are not really Democrats at all. In fact, the best explanation of this mess over the, I shouldn't say the best, I should say the best, most concise, because I can give you some clips of long drawn out explanations of what's going on. But Stephen Colbert actually explained it, the whole Manchin cinema or Manchinima debacle. He explained it like this.
Here's the problem, and it's two problems. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, seen here explaining what happens when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
Okay.
Along with Arizona Senator and midlife crisis Velma, Kyrsten Sinema.
It was Velma from Scooby-Doo. I can see it. Yeah. The audience liked it too.
In order to pass the bill through reconciliation, all 50 Senate Democrats have to be on board. But Manchin and Sinema have both said that there are parts of the $3.5 trillion bill that they oppose. But they have yet to publicly detail their demands. So they're holding up the entire government,
yeah,
but they won't tell anyone what they want.
Yeah.
That's like getting a ransom note that says, your brother gets it unless you give us, wouldn't you like to know?
Wouldn't you like to know? Well, now, this is what we've been hearing for so long, that they won't give a top line number. Well, today, Joe Manchin's saying, that's not true. I have this document, and he's circulating it around Capitol Hill with his top line number. Remember, when they started this process, the number for the Build Back Better Act was about $6 trillion. Again, over 10 years, which is still a hell of a lot less than our bloated military budget. That is about $740 billion in 1 year. Got it? And again, nobody's clutching their pearls or saying, how are we going to pay for it? They just, they gave the military $24 billion more than Joe Biden even asked for. So just keep the hypocrisy right there front and center. And remember, when they're talking about the unprecedented amount of this bill, that's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit. Because, again, the military expenditure is more than double every year the amount of this Build Back Better package. So don't buy the bullshit, because it's bullshit, okay? So anyway, so what Manchin now says that he's been calling for, and the document he's been distributing, is his top line number is $1.5 trillion. This is the bill that started at six. The progressives negotiated it and compromised down to $3.5 trillion over 10 years. And Joe Manchin wants to make it $1.5 trillion? Yeah, but that's not all. Here's what else he wants, according to this document he's been circulating today. A corporate tax rate of 25%, a top income tax rate of 39.6%, and a capital gains tax rate of 28%. For any revenue from the bill exceeding $1.5 trillion, it will be spent on deficit reduction. Means testing so that new federal programs are aimed toward low-income Americans. And they do that so that they can say it's a entitlement and they can take it away. That's why they do that. Jurisdiction is chair of the Senate Energy Committee over any clean energy standards for Mr. Cole himself? I mean, this would be funny if it weren't so completely fucked up. And that's the technical term for this demand letter that I'm reading. Oh, it continues. Innovation and elimination of energy sources. What the fuck does that mean? Continued support for coal. That's what it means. And support for technology capturing carbon emissions from power plants to store underground, which is good for coal. What else does he demand? Assurances that fossil fuel subsidies won't be repealed if new credits are issued for renewable power, and that any electric vehicle subsidies be extended to also include hydrogen-powered vehicles, which is good for coal. And his other demand was that debate on the package not start until October 1st, which is tomorrow. Hey, Joe Manchin, I got a song for you. Oh, my God. And then you got Kyrsten Sinema, who, did you hear this? So a reporter says to her yesterday, the Senate doesn't know where you, nobody knows where you are. I got audio. I saw it. I read it in a tweet yesterday. Now there's audio. Brace yourself. Okay, listen carefully. The reporter will say to her, they don't know where you are. Oh, hold on. Wrong pot here.
What do you say to progressives that are frustrated that they don't know where you are?
I'm in the Senate.
I'm in the Senate.
There are progressives within the Senate that are frustrated that they don't know where you are either.
I'm clearly right in front of the elevator, she said. Oh my God, Kyrsten Sinema. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, how reprehensible can one woman be? The progressives don't know where you are. Meaning, where are you on this bill? What's your top, you know, your top number, your top level number? And she said, well, I'm here, I'm in the Senate. But they don't know where you are. I'm obviously right in front of the elevator. This woman deserves a punch in the face. I'm not advocating anybody do that. But oh my God, one of these days, she will get what she deserves. I'm stunned. I'm just absolutely stunned. I'm not surprised, but I'm stunned. Now, Howie Klein is coming up in about 10 minutes. And Howie Klein is, he's been telling us about Kyrsten Sinema for years. So today he gets to say, I told you so. Even though he's, you know, he could have said it all along because we knew. But oh my God. So that's where we are. Before I bring Howie on, there's one other thing I need to talk to you about that also makes me angry. Deep breath. I had a meltdown last night. I'm going to hold my shit together because I'm a professional. Okay, so you may recall that back in May, was it May or was it March? I want to say it was one of those two M months. It was months ago. It was in May or in March. I don't remember. But that's when it was March. Louis DeJoy, remember that name? He is the criminal that the former guy named Postmaster General. And his goal was to destroy the United States Postal Service. And you might recall, this time last year, as we were heading into election season, he decided he was going to slow down the mail service. What? Because that's how you make it more efficient. You slow it down. And we're all like, what the fuck? And all right, bottom line is, the man who's trying to kill off the Postal Service is one step closer to his goal. Louis DeJoy, inexplicably, is still the Postmaster General. It's because Joe Biden can't remove him himself. That has to be the board. Biden appointed three more members to the board who still haven't done the job of removing DeJoy. So Biden should fire every fucking one of those board members and replace them all with people who will get rid of this crook. Because the U.S. Postal Service used to be like the shining star of America. And until the Republicans fucked them over by requiring that they fund their health care and pension fund 75 years in advance in order to break them, Postal Service was doing just fine, thank you very much. And the service was great. Well, I've noticed over the past year how it's deteriorated. Tomorrow, Louis DeJoy's 10-year plan that he ironically calls Delivering for America, seriously, puke, right? Delivering for America, tomorrow it goes into effect. What does that mean? Well, he's promising to, quote, make the Postal Service more competitive and more modern. But in actuality, it will slow down service and raise prices. That's the definition of opposite world, right? Slow down delivery time. So for a first class letter or package, instead of 3 days, they're going to say, it'll take about 5. And they're raising the prices. Am I alone in being disgusted? And the other reason I'm disgusted is, you know, I'm sending out a lot of packages these days. I had, you know, and I wrap things up really well. And, I had a disaster a couple of weeks ago where one of the glass, you know, faux stained glass things that I made arrived in a million pieces. And I thought, okay, maybe it's my fault. Maybe they didn't wrap it up well enough. It was glass after all. It was the first time I had tried sending glass. So Vinny from Brooklyn, I sent him a replacement faux stained glass picture that I hope he loves as much. But you might recall a couple of weeks ago, I had one of my recent paintings on the wall behind me because I always put my stuff up on the wall behind me. And it was this painting of these three corgis. This was a big project because it's three different dogs, and I try really hard to get the personalities of each pet, you know, down. So this is the painting. It was a big one. It was 16 by 20, a big, you know, this was a project that I worked a long time on. And it was wrapped in bubble wrap. It was wrapped again and sent off. And I get a message today from Nancy in Dallas, and she's just like, I got it, and it's beautiful, but the post office, they must have run it over or something. And she sent me some pictures. Like, it's stretched canvas, you know, on a wood frame. So here's one picture. For those of you listening to the audio, I'll tell you, the whole thing is crushed. The wood frame is broken. So here's a couple of pictures of it. The canvas is all smushed. The wood broke through the canvas and tore it. I'm just showing you four pictures, but there are tons of them. It's destroyed. And thank you, U.S. Postal Service. This is uncalled for. This goes, and this is on top of the fact that, you know, that I'm going to show you the original photo painting again because I'd rather look at that. They lose stuff. They're delayed. I send it priority, and this is what happens. Never used to happen. Louis DeJoy can go you know what I'm thinking. I think I've exercised my profanity quota today. So Environmental Coffee House is asking, was it insured? That's on me. From now on, sorry, anybody who gets a painting from me, it's going to cost extra to send because I will add additional insurance on it. Through when you send something priority, it's a $50 insurance built in. And I was stupid. So from now on, add it onto the final tab and the postage, because I don't upcharge the postage. I charge you what the postage is, and it's expensive to add insurance on it. And I send everything priority, but I have to add it because now this I will get reimbursed $50. But of course, I'm going to repaint it for Nancy. So what I told her to do is take it in. The dog all the way to the right, the one in the front, that's Winnie. And Winnie is actually Nancy's daughter's dog. So I said, cut Winnie out. It'll be a smaller picture and then have that mounted and framed and, you know, do whatever you want with the rest of it. I mean, the whole thing as a whole is destroyed. And I'm going to redo the painting for her, which, you know, is good for me because I ship UPS. UPS sucks also. And FedEx is even worse. And the thing is, I like patronizing the United States Postal Service because it's us. It's not they're not for profit. UPS and FedEx, sorry, they're for profit companies. I'd rather give my business and support the US Postal Service, which should have banking, by the way, which was great until Louis DeJoy fucked it up. So anyway, I will be redoing this, so I'll share with you the new version when I get it done. You know, I'm one of those people that every time I do something, I always look back and say, well, I could have done this better, I could have done that better. So I'm thinking, all right, well, I'll just make it better. But really, I mean, poor Nancy was really bummed out. Can you imagine? It arrives, and first she saw the package was all destroyed. She said it looks like it got crushed. She said it looks like the mail truck ran it over. I have no words. I'm just disgusted. I'm disgusted on every front. It shouldn't be this way. So fuck Louis DeJoy. I'm still not going to use UPS or FedEx. I want Louis DeJoy out of there, and I want the United States Postal Service restored to its former glory. Okay? Okay. By the way, I got an amazing email last night from some guy who found my artwork online, right? He found the artwork online and he sent me a message. He's not a listener. He's not somebody who knows me. And he's like, I'm looking for some art to surprise my wife with for our 30th anniversary that's coming up. And I got to read this to you because I thought this can't be real. It's like, it's one of you guys messing with me. But he wrote, I was looking for some artwork online and found your contact while surfing. And I must tell you, you're doing a great job. I'd really love to purchase some of your works for my wife as a surprise present for our forthcoming 30th anniversary. I'd like to receive further information about your work and what inspires you. However, I would greatly appreciate it if you could possibly recommend a few completed pieces of your art that's ready for immediate sales within my price range, $1,000 to $15,000. We spoke actually earlier today because I said, let's talk. And he doesn't want anything custom done. He wants to see what I have. So, and I told him it's not going to be anywhere near what he quoted just because I'm new, I'm a beginner, but talk about an ego boost. So these not, all right. So I got a couple behind me. So there's the seascape that's on the left, that one that I love that I have framed. And then there's another one in the middle. This is also one of my favorites. That is like a mountain stream. You can't really see it because the mic boom is in the way. So I'm going to send him pictures and see if he likes anything. But $1,000 to $15,000, my artwork is nowhere in that range, just so you know. It's very affordable. The other thing, I've got one that's behind me that you also can't really see. I got to move the boom again. But can you see? It's a woman on horseback. And I got the horse okay. And I think I got the background okay. But I told the person who asked me, Jessica, if I could paint that, that I can't do faces. And I really can't do faces. So the painting is lovely, except for her face, which looks like an alien. But I'm going to keep working on it. I'm like taking a class to learn how to do faces. So it's a work in progress. Anyway. Oh, you know, the things that give me joy. To stop talking about what's his name? Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Oh my God. I'm just so over the sickness. And it is a sickness in Congress. It is a sickness that these obstructionists are a part of. And Joe Manchin is just as bad as the rest of them. I so wish we could tell him, you know what? Go be a Republican. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Or better yet, do. But we can't. Because if he becomes a Republican, then Mitch McConnell becomes majority leader again. And look, even without the power, he's still fucking up things for the rest of us. So, so I paint. Oh, God. Ah! And today's Thursday. We still have one more day. All right. I'll tell you what we need to do, and that is get Howie on the line. All right, let's do it.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole Sandler.
How are you?
I'm good. Real good. I got to pull myself away from my computer now so we can talk without me blogging.
Yes.
And I've done it.
And you know what? First, before anything else, I got to tell you, we're not here last week because you had a doctor's appointment, but you turned us on. You introduced us to Brittany Ramos de Barros, and oh my God, do we love her.
Oh, good.
Wow. First of all, it was a great interview because she's amazing. She's incredible.
I'm so glad that you like her. She is amazing.
We not only liked her, I mean, we loved her. And I'm saying we, because I got more feedback on Brittany probably than any other candidate you've brought on this show. People.
Wow.
Yes. Because she's got this energy and you could tell it's all real. She believes it. There was a speech that she did at an event with the Poor People's Campaign with Reverend William Barber, probably from 2018, I think, that I found. And we played it. It was like 3 minutes of just this woman who was so passionate and so feeling and so caring. And it just really shows that she's human and she's in it for the right reasons and she's the real deal. And she'd be great to have in that district because this district from the Bronx is the one that Michael Grimm represented. It's the one that Max Rose was in. I mean, this has been a problem district for a while, right?
Right. It's Staten Island and a little bit of Brooklyn.
Right.
So the district, goes back and forth between a conservative Democrat and a conservative Republican. They just keep going back and forth. And then they're not satisfied with either of them. They elect a conservative Republican. They don't like him. They get rid of him. They get a conservative Democrat. They don't like him. They go back to a conservative Republican. They keep going back and forth. So this time, hopefully, they'll try a progressive Democrat and get something new and different that they'll like.
Right, right. And hopefully this will be it. I reached out to, I have a listener who lives in the Brooklyn part of that district, who's been listening for years, but I haven't heard from Mona You got to check out Brittany because I'm excited about her. So good find, Howie. Good. Really
She's
good
endorsed
find.
By Blue America, of course. And I hope today's the last day of the FEC quarter, and people can donate to her if they want. They can go to the Downward Tyranny page, and right up top, it says About Us. And if they click that, something pops up that says Donate, and they can do that.
Okay, and I'll also, I'll put a special link on the blog where I post the podcast today to get you right to the Blue America page so anybody who does want to donate can. I actually heard from a number of listeners that day who said, I donated $27 to her today.
Oh, great.
So,
oh,
yeah. So I thought you'd like hearing that. Yeah,
she's very good.
She is very good.
She will make a great member of Congress if she gets in.
Right.
And she's running against just a real garden variety Republican crackpot. Just, you know, today, I'm pretty sure she voted to shut down the government, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
let me take a look.
The vote on that, first of all, in the Senate was 65 to 35. So 35 Republican senators voted for a shutdown, voted not to fund the government even through December 3rd. And in the House, it was like, it was 254 to 175. That's reprehensible.
Yeah, a lot of Republicans went along with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh.
She did an ad kind of threatening anyone who votes to keep the government open and saying that they're rhinos. And, you know, she's really been on that, you know, trying to pressure her colleagues to vote against, you know, keeping the government open. And it looks like she was successful. She got a lot of Republicans to vote with her, including people that you wouldn't expect to vote that way. You know, like I would have thought, like Brian Fitzpatrick, who is the most likely Republican to vote with the Democrats, he voted to shut it down also. And he was one of many people who I think were just scared of her, just didn't want her, you know. One Republican staffer told me, nobody wants to fall into her mouth, as he put it.
Oh, my God. This is dangerous and this is frightening. I mean, really scary that she's got that power. I mean, you would think, I was hoping that she's being shunned by everyone, but I guess that's not the case.
Well, no one likes her. I mean, so in a way they're shunning her, but they're afraid of her because, you know, she opens her mouth and labels them a rhino, and then they have trouble back in their districts with the extreme Trumpists. That doesn't mean they're going to lose. But, you know, nobody wants to, especially in a swing district, nobody wants to alienate any kind of, you know, substantial segment of the population.
Right.
And that could easily happen. I mean, she is considered, you know, another one of those crazy Trumpers like Lauren Boebert and Madison Cawthorn. I mean, these people get a lot of attention, especially on right-wing radio and right-wing TV. So we don't see them a lot because we're watching, you know, more mainstream media, but on the very fringy right, they're superstars.
Yeah,
like absolute superstars. They're on all the time, and people care about what they say. So if she goes on there and she says, "Well, Brian Fitzpatrick is nothing but a rhino," which was kind of her threat, you know, it doesn't mean he's going to lose necessarily, but he'll lose like maybe thousands of voters.
Well, the thing is, in the primaries are when the political junkies come out, and whether they're the crazy Trumpers or people like us who pay attention, we're the ones who vote in primaries. The average person doesn't. And so, especially on the right, it's the crazy radicals who tend to win primaries. It's hard for a mainstream, not that there are many of them left, but a Liz Cheney-like Republican now, and I'd only put her in that category now. I wouldn't if it was 3 years ago, but a Liz Cheney type.
She's not really mainstream. She except in terms of Trump. Like,
right,
for example,
exactly.
When it came to shutting down the government
right.
Today, she was right along there with the other nuts.
Was she?
She's not gained anything politically from that, but she voted with
the lunatics.
Whereas
my God.
Kinzinger voted with the Democrats.
Okay, so let's use Adam Kinzinger instead as an example because he's more a reasonable, for the most part, Republican. I always have to qualify.
He's a mainstream conservative.
Right, and he is a conservative.
He's not a fascist.
But his type has a really hard time getting through a primary these days because the crazies are the ones who go out and vote.
I would say he has zero chance to get through the primary.
There you go. There you go. And that's sad. I mean, it's just going to get more and more crazy radical. And I hate saying that because, you know, the media always wants to do the both-siderism thing and call us, you know, who are very progressive, radical. Well, I'm sorry. This is not radical. This is trying to take care of other Americans. This is trying to take care of things here at home. I keep stressing the fact that this, the Build Back Better plan, the massive, as they describe it, $3.5 trillion bill over 10 years, is $350 billion a year for 10 years. The National Defense Authorization Act, the military budget they just passed in the House, was $740 billion for a year, more than double what this Build Back Better bill is. And yet I don't hear any of them going, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? Where, you know, you can't, that's too expensive. We can't afford that.
Yep.
Do they ever say that?
Problem. And what I'm guessing, by the way, since you brought it up, is what they'll do to placate Manchin, if they can get Sinema to sign off, is that they will cut the bill. You know, they're going to cut it basically in half.
He wants $1.5 trillion.
$1.5 I think they can probably get him up to $1.75 trillion. And then what they do is cut the time in half. Like you mentioned, 10 years.
Right.
And
so make it over 5.
Just make it 5 years. So that would, you know, I'm not saying that's good. It's not, certainly not.
No.
But it's better than nothing.
Right.
And it's better than $1.5 trillion spread over ten years, which is unworkable.
Which is nothing for what they need to accomplish. It's nothing. Yeah. I'm not calling $1.5 trillion nothing. But it's $150 billion a year to do major, you know, changes, and it's just not enough. So
no.
Yeah, oh, it's just I hate this. This is the sausage making. This, so Howie, if you had to, you know, today Manchin's like, I don't know why they're saying I haven't given a top line number. It's $1.5 trillion. Well, you know what? Fuck you. $1.5 trillion.
He did give that number in honesty. I mean, I wrote about it months ago that was his number.
So this is Chuck Schumer who's lying.
But it picked up by the media. They didn't dwell on it, but he's telling the truth. He did give that number out. He did give that 1.5 back in June or July.
So why is Chuck Schumer, Chucky Schmucky, telling us that they haven't given a top line number? Because that's the assumption we've been going on for all these months.
So Schumer's a liar.
Thank you.
And Manchin did give it, and not only did he give it, but Schumer made him sign a document agreeing. So Schumer's just lying.
I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of politics. I'm just so over it. So Howie Klein,
we have to live it every day.
Every day. So there's Joe Manchin, who at least gave a number. Did you hear the audio of Kyrsten Sinema talking to, I believe it was Frank Thorpe, who's an NBC producer, standing in front of the elevator? Did you hear this?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Although when you mentioned elevator, it sounds familiar.
Yes.
But tell me, what is it?
I'm going to play it for you. So this was yesterday. It's a little hard to hear, but listen, and you will hear it. Here we go.
What do you say then? Progressives that are frustrated that they don't know where you are.
I'm in the Senate.
There are progressives within the Senate that are frustrated that they don't know where you are either.
I'm literally right in front of the elevator.
I'm literally right in front of the elevator.
I did hear it.
Someone needs to smack her. Like, smack her. What is her problem? And I said, you know, Howie, you've been doing this show for a decade now. You warned us way back when. You've been warning us all this time. And so if you want to say I told you so, you can. But you kind of have been all along.
Well, yes, I started writing about her I started really writing about her as soon as she got elected. I went back a little bit today. And found a post where I said these are the worst freshmen who just got elected to Congress, and she was the number one worst freshman. This is right after she got elected in terms of the voting that she had done from the election into, I think, the summer. As soon as she got elected, she was the worst. And then, you know, a few months later, I said, wow, does this person need a primary?
Yeah. Right.
So yes, I've been writing about how bad she is. I've known her way before she got elected, when she was just a member of the Arizona legislature, when people were telling me who were in the legislature that what a phony she is, and that she, you know, she would try to pretend because of the district, she would try to pretend to be progressive and say that she's, you know, pro-immigrant, for example. And then they said, but it's all bullshit. She's not pro anybody except pro Kyrsten Sinema. And the idea of her being a progressive, which is how she was in those days, how she was trying to present herself, was absurd. And they said everybody in Arizona knew it. I think what they meant is that everybody in the state capitol knew it, because people in Arizona didn't know what to make of her. They just saw the D. They wanted to get rid of a not very good Republican senator. Schumer recruited her to run, helped raise about $40 million, and cleared the field of other candidates who wanted to run. And now we wound up with Kyrsten Sinema. Thank you, Chuck Schumer. And Chuck Schumer, as I've said, he didn't pick her despite the fact that she had the worst voting record of any Democrat in the House. He didn't pick her despite the fact that she was the head of the Blue Dogs. He didn't pick her because she's psychotic. He didn't pick her despite the fact that she's psychotic. He picked her because of those things. That's what he was looking for. Maybe not the psychotic part, but he was looking for a terrible conservative. He thought that recruiting the head of the Blue Dogs with this awful record would be a great idea. He thought it was brilliant. And she got elected, although that year almost any Democrat would have gotten, any feasible, plausible Democrat would have gotten elected. Certainly, Ruben Gallego, a congressman from Phoenix, who also wanted to run and who Schumer chased out of the race, he could have won. He would be the senator now, and he is a solid progressive.
He's great. In fact, my husband and I were talking. He should primary her. Someone's
well,
got
there's,
to.
There's a draft Ruben Gallego movement that started already. They're already working on it. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. He might. I mean, remember, he would have to give up his House seat.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
Do that.
Because we don't want to lose him. He's too good.
You know, maybe he'll do it. I mean, I haven't talked to him in a long, long, long time.
He's great, and I'd love to see him do it, but I don't want to see him lose his House seat. I'm actually worried. I guess I shouldn't be, because Culver City, if I hadn't moved from L.A. 20 years ago, I lived in the district that's now Karen Bass's. I lived in Culver City. She's now going to run for mayor of L.A.? Is she nuts?
Why would she be nuts?
Because who wants that job? That's a thankless job, isn't it?
You have a good point there. It is an awful job, and people come out of that all bloodied.
Yeah.
So maybe she thinks that she can do it. It's certainly a much bigger job than being a member of Congress.
Right.
Although the interesting thing is that Karen Bass has long been on the short list of potential speakers of the House.
Wow.
I guess, though, is that she's frustrated because Pelosi keeps picking these people far to the right of her, as though it's like, well, Pelosi considers herself on the left, and it's now it's the turn of someone being, you know, more corporate and more. I don't know if that was really the right term, but someone more corporate and more status quo.
More conservative, than she is.
It is in a way, but I mean, a lot of times when you say conservative, people think, are they anti-choice?
Right.
Do they hate gays?
Yeah.
No, not that kind of conservative.
Right.
That's Republican conservative. It's just more of like not doing anything to improve the lives of working people. That kind of conservative.
Right. So, so Hakeem Jeffries seems to be in line for the speaker, right?
That's a good description of what I was just saying. Hakeem Jeffries,
right.
Yes.
Exactly.
A status quo, very, very corrupt politician. That's who he is, and that's who Pelosi has picked to be the next speaker. And that I'm sure that Karen Bass is frustrated about that.
Don't blame her. I really like Karen Bass. Again, she wasn't the congressperson for the district when I lived there. I don't even know who was, but that's my old district, and I always, you know, I live in the land of woulda, coulda, shoulda. That house is worth about $2 million now. I sold it 20 years ago for $435,000. So, anyway, Howie Klein, that's my usual you know, berating myself for bad decisions made years ago. So here we
are. Now you live in my beautiful Florida.
Oh.
You see that video that's going around yesterday and today about that guy,
the alligator,
alligator in the garbage can.
Yes.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
That is wild. Actually, I tweeted it out and I Facebooked it. I didn't pull it because it's very visual and a lot of people listen to this, you know, on audio feeds. So, but you definitely go look for it. It's the Florida man catches an alligator. And the Florida Wildlife Commission said they sent out a tweet today, something along the lines of, if you see an alligator, don't try to catch it with a garbage can. Call us. Get a professional. So it was frightening. Yeah, that was a big alligator, too.
I had nightmares about it.
Did you? Well, you might have nightmares.
I swim every day.
Oh, right.
So, you know, you never know.
You never do
you
know.
It's an indoor swimming pool, but
right?
You still never know.
Right. So, Howie, yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before? It was Wednesday, yesterday. No, it was Tuesday. I had former Florida governor, who wants to be Florida governor again, Charlie Crist, on the show.
I heard, yes. I heard that you had him on.
Now.
And I heard that you brought up the whole gay issue.
Well,
no one ever does.
I know.
It's sort of an unspoken rule in the media that you don't ask him if he's gay.
Well, I couldn't not. So,
I'm glad you did it. But you got some bad feedback about that.
Well, no, I have there's a crazy listener who hate listens all day long to Progressive Voices, starting with Stephanie Miller, going on to Tom Hartman and Randy Rhodes and me. That's the schedule throughout the day from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. And he hates us all, but he seems to hate me the most. And he writes the most rancid, nasty, ugly things. I mean, the names he calls us, and he's called in a few times. He apparently got through on the Randy Rhodes show not too long ago. Because he sent me a really threatening message a couple of years ago, I tracked him down. So I know his name is Pat Ward. He lives outside of Albuquerque, which is how I call Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I've got his phone number. I've got his address. So if anything happens, I know who it is. This guy is vile and really disgusting. And if anybody wants his number, I'm not going to put it out over the air, but I'll give it to you. So he was so offended.
He emails whenever he thinks you've done something wrong. He'll send me it's not just to me. It's a chain email.
That's right.
That he sends to a whole lot of people, including me. And it's always like this, like crazy, you know, stuff written by like an obvious, like insane person.
He's nuts. Oh, he's absolutely nuts. So I have him blocked. And frankly, he didn't include me on that email. He emailed you and Brad Friedman and all the Randy and Tom and Stephanie and Laura Flanders and, whoever, complaining about me that I asked Charlie Crist about being gay. So I thought you would like to hear it.
How did Charlie wiggle out of it?
I'm going to play it for you because I pulled the segment for you because I knew you'd be interested. Because we actually talked about this back in 2009, I believe. That's when the movie, was it called Outrage, came out? There was a movie, I think it was called Outrage, and it was about a lot of, closeted politicians. And let me play for you how it went.
He also had a really, really hot boyfriend at the time, who was getting in magazines and stuff. So it was really hard for Charlie to keep it quiet.
Oh, interesting. All right. So let's, I think I'm cued into the right spot. So here's that part of the interview with Charlie. And Howie, I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised at how well the interview went, and I really kind of liked him. But that aside, here's this segment.
And a state senator. On the other hand, we've got Ron DeSantis, a rookie governor who acts like it or worse every single day.
Right. And emulating Trump, which is the worst thing possible. He's mean. He's a bully. He's nasty to everybody who doesn't agree with him. And now I heard that he's talking about if you're a Florida state government
I'm a little too early, but it's coming up right here.
And you criticize him, that you need to watch out because you'll either be fired or, I don't know, worse.
I know. It's unbelievable. To that. I mean, he's a bully.
He's a bully.
That's all it is.
And it's wrong. Charlie Crist, I want to I need to go here just because you're here, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. Obviously, over the years, your ideas and positions change. That's normal. Everybody goes through changes. Your website, which is charliechrist.com, does not have your positions on.
I hesitated
issues.
Here.
This is a problem I have with a lot of candidates. And what I've noticed is the real progressive ones put it all out there. You can go to their website and you can see where they are in education, on healthcare, on taxes, on infrastructure, you name it, it's there. It's not on your website, but it's not on Nikki Fried's either. Why don't you put it out there? Why isn't it on there?
That's a great criticism, and I appreciate it very much, and I'll fix it.
Okay. Here's the delicate part.
Sure.
On LGBTQ issues. Yes. Over the years, your position has varied, I will say that. Back in the day when you were governor, you were against, I believe, same-sex marriage. You were certainly against gay couples adopting. You were just not good on issues for the LGBTQ community. In conjunction with that are the rumors. Now, it's what anybody does in the privacy of their home or with their personal relationships is their own business. The knock on you has been that there are these rumors floating around, have been for better part of a decade or more, that you're a closeted gay man, and that's not the issue. The issue has been that not being good on issues for the gay community.
Well, I'm not, number one, which is fine. But what it's important, I think, is I've evolved on the issue the same way President Obama has. Mm. And I can remember him saying that, you know, he was supportive of gay couples not being able to be married, but to cohabitate, to be together. And then he came around during his presidency, right after Vice President Biden at the time. I think he sort of jumped the gun
on him. Yes, he did.
But I remember the president was so eloquent in this interview with a British journalist, if I recall correctly. And he said, I have come to the view, this is President Obama, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, that, you know, who am I to judge? And who am I to tell other people who to love? And so for that reason, he said, I do support gay marriage, and I will from now going forward. And I feel the same way and did it at about the same time. So, you know, people grow up, they get wiser, they have greater compassion and greater understanding. And, you know, there's somebody that is to judge. It's not me. It's not you. It's somebody else. And I think the right thing to do is to honor all people.
So there you go. And by the way, I did call him out on that as well, because there are some I brought up, you know, he mentioned God and the higher power a few times. And I said, you know, there are some of us who just are don't go there. And he's like, you're right. Well, he kept... So that was his response, Howie Klein.
He's a very good
politician.
Really, yeah. Really good.
He is.
In terms, he makes anyone like him. That's the first job of a politician,
right?
To make everybody like
and
you.
And he did.
And he's good at it. And you came away liking him.
I did.
But, you know, the matter is, we just heard him duck the real question about him being gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you didn't pursue it or try to nail him to the cross.
No, I didn't.
And I understand. That I don't think I would have done that either. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the rumors are more than rumors.
Yeah, I know.
And he's still lying about it.
That's the problem. When he said, "Well, I'm not, and that's okay," and I wish I would have, because I always second guess. I wish I would have said, and not that there's anything wrong with it. Charlie, if you are, it's okay. You can tell us. It's not a problem. But I didn't. I look, it took a lot. I knew I wanted to go there. I just wanted to get there without being a bitch, the bitch that I can be, and without being accusatory, because there's nothing wrong with being gay. You're gay. You know,
I am gay.
I don't care.
The fact of the matter is that I haven't heard anyone do what you just did
right.
with him.
Right.
I mean, people just don't do it.
They don't do it.
But he was in shock. To hear that.
Right, that I even went there.
He wants to come out, but, you know, he doesn't want to for whatever reason. I mean, the guy got married to a woman who was obviously he friendly with him and liked him, and she was, you know, but he did it for a political campaign, and when the political campaign was over, they divorced.
Right. She did, and he did. They divorced in 2017. They got married right before he embarked on this run for Congress, and quietly divorced in 2017. You know, again, I've no problem with that. My problem was that while denying his sexuality. He was working against the best interests of the gay community. And that's where the issue comes in. But
being very nice when you say he worked against the best interests of the gay community. The fact of the matter is for political reasons and political reasons only, he worked against the gay community.
Yes, he did.
Was a homophobic asshole. And that is unforgivable for someone who's gay. I mean, it's not a nice thing for anybody.
Anybody.
But for someone who's in the closet, I mean, I know plenty of politicians who are in the closet, and I don't ever mention it because they're not anti-gay.
Right.
And if they, I wish they would come out, but if they don't want to, that's their business, not mine. And I never mention a gay politician who is pro-gay in their work.
Right, because it's nobody's business.
You know, I had this, speaking of Florida, I had a long talk face-to-face over dinner with Mark Foley. And Foley, who drinks a little bit,
right,
or used to, I don't know.
For those who don't remember, let me just, this was going back a decade or so, Mark Foley was congressman from Palm Beach area who was outed for, you know, stooping male pages in Congress.
Underage male pages.
Underage male pages, yes. I'm sorry, so go ahead.
What he said to me and what he says to everybody, he's out of the closet now. But what the reason that I was having dinner with him, by the way, was because he was saying that he wants to move back to, he wants to move to California, leave Florida, move to California, and run. And he wanted me to give him advice if he could run in Hollywood. And I said, everyone loves the congressman from Hollywood right now. They're not going to vote for you. They're not going to vote for any Republican. Are you thinking of jumping to the Democratic Party? I don't know. I'm not sure. But I said, in any case, certainly people in Hollywood would vote for a gay man or a gay woman, but they're not going to vote for a child predator.
No.
At which point, and this is the reason I brought this up, he then tried to persuade me, who knew the whole record, of two things. One, that he voted for pro-gay, which is a lie. There were a couple of times he did, but mostly most of his votes were anti-gay, not pro-gay.
Uh-huh.
When that would come up, he was almost always on the bad side. So he wants to look at the few votes where he voted right, but that's not his whole record. And then the other thing he wanted to tell me was, he never really had sex with underage boys because he would bring them to states where the age limit was different.
Oh, my
so
God.
That's illegal.
Crossing state lines with a minor is illegal.
I was writing about this long before he came out. You know, I mean, for years before he came out, I was writing about him being a pedophile. And I spoke with some of the boys. And I spoke to a young kid in San Diego that had sex with him, and I said, "Did he bring you somewhere else?" He said, "No." I said, "He had sex with you in San Diego?" Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God! Wow, that he'd call you is just amazing.
This was a dinner. We went out to dinner together. It was more than a phone call. You know, he's a nice guy. He, again, like Charlie, he knows how to be a politician. He's a friendly, right, you know, person to be with.
Yep.
I like him.
Yeah. You know what? And I liked Nikki Fried too. She was on the show last week. He profusely thanked me at the end and complimented me that he had fun, that it was a great interview.
No one's ever been close to being honest with him.
Right. And I did, and I challenged him on a few things. You heard me talking about the no issues on the website, which you know is a thing with me. And his reaction. And then he kept talking about, you know, the God and the thing. And I'm like, you know, not everyone believes. And he's like, "You're right." And at the end, he said, he was about to say, "God bless you." And he said it. And then he's like, "And the universe, bless you." So he was trying. I give him so much credit. And the fact that he took my questions. And again, I was gentle. I didn't attack him, but I did go there.
I heard you do it. You were very good.
Thank you. I liked the interview and the fact that he loved it. All right.
And it's because just coincidentally, Alan Grayson was telling me, you know, there's a lot about Charlie to like, and he was going on. He said, "Alan, this guy's a blue dog. He's a Republican who is now pretending to be a blue dog. You know that?" He said, "Yeah, I do know it, but you know." just, you know, look at him compared to Ron DeSantis.
Right. But you know what? Let me ask you this. Because
I don't live in Florida. I don't have to do that.
Yeah. Well, but think about this for a moment, because David and I were talking about this. So Charlie Crist, I asked him, what was it that made you a Republican? You were a Republican for all these years. What
was he was a hardcore Republican when he was Attorney General. He was not some softy. He was really bad.
He was a Republican. And he said simply, my parents were Republicans, you know, and I get it. And you know what? That's why he said, and then when I got older, you learn things and you change. But I was a Republican because that's how I was raised. My parents were Republicans. And
well, he didn't learn things except that the Republicans were kicking him out of the party. That's what he learned. And when he changed, he didn't change to a Democrat.
No,
he changed to
independent. That's right.
And he didn't become a Democrat until he wanted to run
for Congress.
And he realized he had to have a party.
I know. I remember it all. But the question was that one of the reasons maybe he won't admit that he's gay, and I get this too, his parents are both still alive. They're in their upper 80s. And they're Methodists. I mean, he got the religion from them too. And so I wonder I remember back in the day when I was doing, goofy morning radio with Mark and Brian in Los Angeles, and there were certain things I would not talk about. And it was always because my dad's still alive. If my dad wasn't alive, I don't care. I'll say anything. But I often caught myself because if this got back to him, I don't want him to hear that. So maybe I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, and maybe it's a old parent thing.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible. I've heard other people have the same thing. I've heard plenty of people telling me that it was
That's
the same
right.
thing. But I know when I figured out that I was gay, I hadn't been in the United States for something like 5 years, and I was living overseas. I was living in Holland, and I was realizing that I was gay. And I went to a shrink, and I said, I think I'm gay. And he's looking at me, waiting for me to say something more. And he said, and then finally he said, so?
Yeah.
I said, well, what am I going to do about it? He said, what do you want? Do you
me
want
to
me
die.
To give you an address for a gay bar? Is that what you're looking for?
Wow.
And at that moment, I realized, this is so silly. I hadn't been in the U.S., and I flew back to the U.S. the only time in the whole time that I was living overseas that I flew back to America specifically to tell my family that I was gay. I didn't want to do it on the phone. I wanted to do it in person.
Wow.
And their attitude was, me and my mother said to me, I hope you don't think you're going to be able to borrow my wigs now. I said, no, Mom, I'm not that kind of gay.
That's great. I mean, but you don't know. And it sounds,
my grandmother, and I was her first grandchild.
Aww.
And she loves all her grandchildren, but I know she always loved me the most. And even, when I told her, and I don't know if she completely understood, but she didn't have a problem with it either.
There you go. Sometimes we don't give them enough credit. You know, because what I found is the older I get, the more open-minded I get. I haven't gotten more conservative in my old age. I've gotten more liberal and more open-minded, I think. So.
Yeah, well, that happens too, to plenty of people.
Yep.
Some, there's an old adage that when you're young, everybody is liberal, and when you're old, everybody is conservative.
Yeah, no.
And that should be thrown away. That's a stupid adage.
I agree, unless you live in the Villages in Florida, I guess. one other thing, Zach Carter was on the show yesterday, and because of the column you wrote, It Down with Tyranny, I never knew he was that he was a musician, and so I pulled one of his videos, and at the end of the interview, I played a little bit of it and freaked him out, and so your name came up, so we talked a little bit about music.
Hey, that song, Brutalism?
Brutalism, but it wasn't the one you mentioned. It was a different one. It was like The Nation, or I can't remember what it was called, but yeah, I played some, and the video was just wild. The video is really cool. You should go on YouTube and look up the band Brutalism and watch the videos. The music is a bit hardcore for me. It's a little more raucous than I'm usually into, but the video was stunning. It was just wild.
Yeah, he's very, he's a really good writer. He's a very smart guy.
Yes.
And he was in a really good band. I don't think they still exist.
No.
But as I said, when I wrote about it recently, he sent it to me while I was getting treated for chemo in the hospital.
Right.
And it really, got me through a lot of hard times. It was Great cool. music.
Yeah. Well, he was, you know, impressed. And then he said to me, you know, Howie was a really big shot in the music industry. And I said, I know. Well, I was on the radio in L.A. That's how I know Howie. We go back to a previous life. And he's like, wow, I had no idea. So, you know. A lot of music people came over to this. You know, R.J. Esko, I don't know if you know Richard Esko, but he's also a musician for years. He's been a musician. So,
yep,
there are a few of us who've gotten older and do this now. Anyway, Howie Klein, we are way over. What were you writing about when I so rudely interrupted you by calling?
What I was doing is writing notes to some of the Blue America candidates who are running against Republicans, asking them to give me a comment that I can use in a post for tomorrow about shutting down the government. In other words, I wrote to Bruno Amato cool. and said, hey, Bruno, McCarthy voted to shut down the government, whereas all these other Republicans didn't, including Republicans in California. What do you think?
Cool. I was
in the middle of doing that.
I love Bruno Amato too.
But I'll find it again.
We love Bruno Amato too. I mean, you've brought some great candidates on the show. Lucas Kuntz has been on a number of times. Bruno, of course, Brittany from the other day. So we need to keep going because.
And we've had Erica Smith on, right?
Yes, we had Erica Smith too. Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
She's really, really good. And Erica was really good from the beginning. She was really good 2 years ago. And she's just getting better and better all the time.
Now, she's in North Carolina, and she's running for the Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Blue America used to do really almost exclusively House races, but you've branched out in recent years. And
We started out only doing House races.
Right.
But yes. But we have four people who we're backing for the Senate right now. She's one of them. Lucas is one of them in Missouri, and help me out here.
Lucas, Erica, yeah. Who else?
In Ohio, the Democratic Party is trying to push in this guy Ryan.
Okay. Tim Ryan.
Ryan, who is like anti-choice for his whole life until he realized he's got to, change. And then he changed, but he only whispered about changing. He never announced it. You know, for years he didn't announce it. Very weird guy. So a woman who's fantastic, a young woman named Morgan Harper.
Okay.
Is and we're back. No, she ran for Senate last year. And we were behind her then, so we know her well.
Okay,
She's really
Texas.
There's not a race in Texas.
There's not
this
a race
time.
In Texas.
No. Why am I blocking?
Well,
our fourth candidate.
Come back next week.
I'm going to tell you now. I'm walking back to my office.
Okay, and find out who the fourth Senate candidate is that Blue America PAC has endorsed.
Embarrassed, of course.
Yeah, and you're going to go, oh, God, of course, duh.
Okay. Yes, I will.
Yes, of course you will. All right, so we're just waiting.
And not only will I go, oh, God, I'm embarrassed, but you should as well.
Okay, yeah, I should. I should. Because,
yes. You should more than most people.
Oh, really?
Yes,
Florida. Oh, Senate, duh. Alan Grayson.
Yeah, of course, the other person that we endorsed is Alan Grayson.
Grayson.
Yeah. I mean, the difference between him and Val Demings is just, like, so amazing. I mean, but you know what? Why don't we save that for another time? You said we're over time, talking about Val Demings, it would take an hour.
Okay, we will do that another time, and we can talk, you know. Look, I went there with Charlie Crist.
Why didn't you get Val on the show? Have you tried?
No, I haven't, but I will. I'll put in a call for her, and I'll have Alan on the show. You know, we'll get into it next time because Alan Grayson is a complicated story. And it's like,
I know.
You know,
remember.
Yes. And it's not only me. It's not only me. So there's an issue.
On the other hand, Alan Grayson would be the greatest senator of our lifetime.
Without a doubt. I've no disagreement with that. The problem is he's going to have a hard time getting elected because he burned a lot of bridges in the party. He pissed a lot of people off who will not support him.
Yep.
So that's sad. Believe me, I know it because I pissed a lot of people off too who don't like
and
me.
And that makes people like you even more.
Well, some. But it makes some people really hate me. And they do. you know, and it is what it is. So, yeah.
And that's everybody who listens to this show likes you a lot, except for that one crazy person who sends me letters.
Again, Pat Ward of, and yes. I forget the name, Corrales. It's near Albuquerque. It's a town in New Mexico. It starts with a C. But I have his address and his phone number if anybody's interested. He's the troll who haunts Randy Rhodes and Tom Hartman and me and others. I mean, he goes for all of us, Brad Friedman and Stephanie, and I mean, all of us, but he has particular hatred for me. So I've got his info. If anything happens to me, you go look for Pat Ward in New Mexico.
I used to tell Roland, if anything happens to me, tell the police to investigate Rahm Emanuel.
Well, I understand that one. I guess he's going to Japan now, so yeah. Whatever.
He didn't get confirmed.
No, he hasn't been confirmed yet. That'd be interesting if he's not.
Sure. Unless they bring this thing up in the middle of the night without announcing it, he may not get confirmed. All you need is a couple of Democrats to vote no, and I think there are.
I hope so. All right. Howie Klein, I'm going to let you go because we could just keep going. I'm on a roll here. But thank you as always. Go to downwithtyranny.com, click on the About, and go to Blue America. Today is the end of the quarter. Your inbox is probably being inundated with mailing lists from candidates you've never signed up for because they do that, and I hate that. But this is the end of the quarter. So, to get their stuff in.
Even more important, tomorrow is the first day of the new quarter.
Yes, it is. And Monday is the first day of the new Supreme Court. First Monday in October. Yeah. Sorry. Which is one thing goes with the other. And hurricane season doesn't end till the end of November. So, hey, that's what's going on in our world. And we don't know what's going to happen with the infrastructure thing. If you had to guess, if you had to make a statement, will it go through? And I'm talking about both parts. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't think it will go through tonight.
No.
But I think it will go through because I think what's going to happen, like I said, they'll putzky around a little bit with the final number. It'll be closer to Manchin's number.
Yep.
And then they'll cut the time in half so everyone gets a little bit of what they want. The only wild card in this is the one crazy person, Kyrsten Sinema.
Yes.
So what that does is it makes it impossible to predict anything because she's insane. What I've said all along, Manchin is horrible. He's a right-wing conservative corporate whore. He's as bad as you can get, except her. She's worse because she's crazy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we've learned, and I've heard that from you for years, and so I've known it all along. And now everyone else is seeing it. And she really is. Oh, my God. From the thumbs down to the $15 minimum wage to the, I'm here in the Senate. I'm at the elevator, obviously. Ah! Okay. All right. With that, Howie Klein, I'll talk to you next week. Thank you, as always.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye. All right. And with that, we're done. So this is overtime. Sometimes we go into overtime. I will leave you with the news. And we'll be back tomorrow, because all this stuff is going on. David Dayen's going to be here. He's the executive editor of the American Prospect magazine, which you should be reading, prospect.org. They are not behind a paywall. So you can go and read to your heart's content. They work like I do, sort of where you like their stuff, you use it, you listen, you read. If you can afford it, please pitch in and help. So, and they're one of the best publications out there. I'd say American Prospect and The Nation are my two, one and two, A and B. There you go. So David Dayen, one of the best political reporters I know, and he will bring it all full circle and explain where we are on everything. And I figured that's the best way to wrap up the week, right? So we'll do that tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, we made it to Thursday, but that's about the only thing we can count on as the day begins. It'll end with the government running out of money and shutting down if a new spending bill or continuing resolution isn't passed before midnight. Here's where we stand early Thursday morning. Late last night, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announced a deal to avert a shutdown. The Democrats ultimately separated raising the debt ceiling from funding the government into two bills, hoping to at least get the spending bill passed. Some Republicans are expected to support the bill, which also includes emergency disaster aid, but they've refused to back any Democratic attempt to raise the debt ceiling. And the debt ceiling must be raised by October 18th, or the U.S. will default for the first time in history, unleashing a massive economic disaster. But Mitch McConnell refuses to go there. And from the one step up, two steps back category, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. First, she negotiated the deal that married the Build Back Better reconciliation package to the smaller BIF, or hard infrastructure bill, saying that they would move in tandem. Well, she reversed that course earlier in the week by separating the two bills, imploring her members to vote for the standalone BIF when she announced the vote would happen on Thursday. Well, never mind, as it appears the vote she had scheduled for today won't happen after all. Again, stay tuned. But if you're wondering what's standing in the way of the Build Back Better bill, the big reconciliation package moving, let's ask Stephen Colbert.
It's two problems. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, along with Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema. In order to pass the bill through reconciliation, all 50 Senate Democrats have to be on board. But Manchin and Sinema have both said that there are parts of the $3.5 trillion bill that they oppose. But they have yet to publicly detail their demands. So they're holding up the entire government, but they won't tell anyone what they want. That's like getting a ransom note that says, your brother gets it unless you give us... Wouldn't you like to know?
That about sums it up. In other news, the man who's trying to kill the U.S. Postal Service is one step closer to his goal. Louis DeJoy, who should not be the Postmaster General, announced back in March a new 10-year plan that he ironically named Delivering for America. For some inexplicable reason, nothing was done to stop it. So that plan goes into effect tomorrow. While promising to make the Postal Service, quote, more competitive and more modern, actually calls for slowing down delivery times while raising the postage price. It's just unconscionable. And from the Isn't It Ironic files, a Republican donor with the unfortunate name of Trashell Odom accused former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski of making unwanted sexual advances toward her during a charity event in Las Vegas last weekend. Trashell Odom told Politico in a statement that Lewandowski, quote, repeatedly touched me inappropriately, said vile and disgusting things to me, stalked me, and made me feel violated and fearful. Lewandowski allegedly claimed that he is, quote, very powerful because of his ties to Trump and, quote, can destroy anyone. Although he didn't reply to Politico's request for comments, his attorney said he wouldn't dignify the accusations and rumors with further response. But a spokesman for the former guy, you know, that bastion of sexual impropriety, announced Wednesday night that Lewandowski is out as the head of the pro-Trump super PAC MAGA Action and will, quote, no longer be associated with Trump world. He then went on to announce that former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi would take his place. It seems that Republicans are having trouble with their moral high ground. South Dakota lawmakers from both parties on Wednesday demanded that Governor Kristi Noem's administration provide more information about a meeting she had last year with her daughter, Cassidy Peters, and state employees after an agency denied Peters' application to become a certified real estate appraiser. The Associated Press noted that Noem's daughter was granted her certification as a residential appraiser at some point after the meeting. Go figure. Oh, and Noem is now fighting back allegations of a rumored affair with the aforementioned Corey Lewandowski. Really? YouTube is finally taking action against misinformation, announcing Wednesday that they would ban content that spreads misleading or false information about coronavirus vaccines. Under this crackdown, YouTube is taking down video channels associated with anti-vax activists, including Joseph Mercola and Bobby Kennedy Jr. And finally, the new term of the Supreme Court begins Monday, the first Monday in October, when 9 justices will take the bench for the first time in a year, even though one of those justices should have already retired. On the docket already for what promises to be a tumultuous year are a significant Second Amendment case concerning a New York concealed carry law and a direct challenge out of Mississippi to Roe v. Wade. Oh, gee. I can't wait. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.